This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
That Jack Hughes news. I was in the gym when that Jack Hughes update came in, and you know how people say, like, I collapsed. I didn't collapse. I was sitting on the bench press, but I collapsed internally. I just was like, bruh. Coming off the Four Nations, and Jack kind of came up small in the Four Nations. I was really hoping for him to lead the Devils on a run in the Stanley Cup playoffs and kind of silence critics and people that are saying, oh, Jack Hughes isn't like that. He's not the guy. He's a boy amongst men. And man, that fall that he took, and when I saw the update that, you know, he had the shoulder surgery and he won't be ready till training camp, I'm just like, yeah, Frank the Tank, you know, Frank always has the hashtag Frank was right. Frank was tweaking all season with the Devils. And I'm like, yo, chill. Chill, Devils, you know, early in the season, we're on a great run, and I don't know. I think they're still going to go for it here, make some moves here at the deadline, and push forward. But, I mean, Jack Hughes is arguably the most popular player on the team, arguably the best player on the team, and it's a big blow to the fans and to his teammates, and it's tough. You've had injuries. He was hurt last year. You have injuries this year to Jacob Markstrom, Nico Hischier, and then we get back going in the second half here, and Jack Hughes goes down. And I don't know, I got to get out there to see another Devils game, but the other night I was talking about how I've broadened my horizons. You know, now I'm the new voice of the New York Red Bulls that play in Harrison, New Jersey. And shout out to the Red Bulls for reaching out and having me come in to do the voiceover for their new kit, their new jersey, and then to do the hype-up video for the start of the season last week. So check out the New York Red Bulls on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever. And if you go back to Saturday before they played Nashville, that's me doing the voiceover. That's me wearing the jersey. That's me in the video hyping up the Red Bulls for the start of the season. And I'll be rocking with the Red Bulls now. You know, Major League Baseball want to lock out in 2026 or after 2026 going into 2027. Well, I'm a hockey fan now. And also, I'm an MLS fan now. So I've broadened my horizons. They thought I was just a Yankee fan, on the fan. Nope, now I'm doing puck. Now I'm doing football. What should I pick up next? Maybe the phone. 888-808-1019. Mitchell is in Queens. Mitchell, you got it.
Hey, Keith, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good. I want to give a shout-out first because I've called into your show a number of times. I love to listen. I also love your humility and saying, being okay with what you don't know. I want to shout out, I don't know his name. He's such a nice gentleman, though, the guy who answers the phone.
Connor Green. Connor Gang Green. Biggest Jets fan at the station.
Thank you, Connor. Appreciate it. So I want to make one Jets point and one thing about NFL, the Brian Cashman and David Stearns, just the difference. But I think your interview, who you had on before, I'm blanking on his name, I'm usually good with names.
Eric Bowen for the Yankees talk? Yes,
he touched on before. Yeah, so Evan talked about this the other day, and I'm very much into this. I would love for the Jets to trade up if they believe in a quarterback. And I don't understand the notion of being against it, of people like, well, they have other holes in the roster, this and that. And to me, it's like, look at teams that hit on quarterbacks, and maybe Jaden Daniels and CJ Stroud are not good examples because they've been, you know, some of the best rookie seasons of all time. But look how many issues get so much diminished when you hit on a quarterback. And I don't understand the brushback for that. And I'm curious, I want to ask you, what do you think the Jets would have to do to give up, let's say, to go to one?
I mean, I don't know, but let me go back to my notes. Dan Duggan was reporting what the Giants would have to give up. They're going to have to give up more than the Giants to move up ahead of, let's say, the Giants. Like, they're going to have to give up their first. They're going to probably have to give up their second. They're going to have to give up next year's first.
Exactly. Not just a swap first. You have to give them another first.
Yeah, so why would you start off like that unless you're just absolutely in love with Cam Ward, which I don't see how
you... I have another thing about the Jets that I believe in, and I don't have enough of a... You, as a fan of sport, you can say that the sport I think you can know least about is football, just as a fan and consuming a lot of the four sports. And I would ask you this, meaning the Jets are going to have to start paying players. And one of the guys I'm not keen on is Sauce Gardner. And I would ask you this. Obviously, they have to do their internal evaluation of what they think of Sauce Gardner. But one of the things that's most underwhelming to me is he can't tackle. And in the modern-day NFL, corners need to tackle even more. And it's ironic because of how the passing game is and less practice. What makes a player not be able to tackle? I know you played football at
He can tackle.
Level.
You got to want to tackle. You got to want to stick your face mask in there. Tackling hurts.
That's exactly. That's what I thought.
Yeah, you got to want to tackle. He wouldn't have made it all the way through Cincinnati and through his first couple years in the NFL if he absolutely couldn't tackle.
Yeah, but I'm saying you watch running backs or guys who are a little bit bigger than them, and he just gets, like, moved over. Like, I hate, like, the courtesy shoulder. I'm like, do me a favor, just get the heck out of the way. Just don't give me the fake. Just tell me that you can't tackle.
Technique, right? Wasn't there a Jets practice where they went back to, like, you know, I think it was definitely the Pittsburgh Steelers. Thanks for the call, Mitchell. A couple things here before we break and go get Antoine Staley to talk more about the Jets. You know, shout out to Connor, shout out to all our producers who, they do the dirty work. You know, you don't hear them. You don't necessarily see them as much as us, but, like, Connor helped me out tonight booking Eric Bolin, booking Antoine Staley. Connor is the one screening your calls. Connor is the one that I'll say, hey, go get Jared Allen's audio. He's back there. He's working hard for 5 hours too. So shout out to him and you recognizing him. And then also recognizing my humility as far as saying, like, it's not even humility. It's just facts. I'm not old enough to know everything. I can't know everything. I've got a lot going on in my life. There are things that I miss. You know, even my boy Dan today, he's just like, how do you stay on top of all of the sports and players? I'm like, I do the best that I can to, like, get updates and read articles and try to prep, but you can't know anyone or know anything. And anyone that comes in here acting like they do or anywhere else, it's impossible. But we have the internet. And I also encourage you, if I say something wrong or I misspeak, call me up and correct me. And then I also bring in people who are reporters that are smarter than me, that know more than me, to speak on the subject so that I am not misguided. I know I'm not old enough and I'm not well-versed enough. I'm not smart enough to know everything. And I don't come in here like a know-it-all. And you said something about, like, football being the sport that you think people could, you know the least about, or like, no, I think it's baseball. I think that's why I'm fascinated with baseball. I learn something new about baseball every year. There are so many layers to baseball, the business of baseball, the history, the amount of players, teams, the amount of single A, double A, triple A, transactions, the trade deadline, free agency. There's just so much to know about baseball. I find that to be the hardest sport to know everything about. And then, you know, having a little bit of football playing experience, me being an offensive guy, and, like, I played a little bit of defense, but, like, I didn't want to tackle guys. I didn't want to touch anybody. I didn't want anybody to touch me. I was offensive-minded. I wanted to score. There was no better feeling than getting in the end zone. But there are defensive guys who are maniacs, and they are wired to kill. They can't wait to put their hands on you, right? There was the guy that came out of Alabama, I was like, he actually, you know, turned. I should know his name, but he had a quote at the combine where he said, like, what he loves about football is making guys not love football. Talking about putting his hands on guys. He's an interior. I think he's an offensive lineman, and he talked about imposing his will. I'm trying to find his name right now. I'm like, that just put him on my radar. Obviously not enough where I remembered his name, but I like that quote talking about, you know, what he loves about football is it's violence. It's legalized violence. And his love of football is making other guys not love football, making other guys have a long day out there. Now, playing corner is way different than being in the trenches. But with Sauce Gardner, that's all it is. It's a want to. You got to want to wrap up. You got to want to take a guy down low. You can't arm tackle. You can't go up top and not wrap guys up. You gotta buy in. Deion Sanders takes it personal when they say, oh, Deion didn't want to tackle. Well, you can also get hurt tackling, right? You could also separate a shoulder. You could also get stiff-armed into the next week by Derrick Henry. Like, you got to want to tackle a guy. You can't just roll up thinking that these NFL players are going to lay down. 888-808-1019. Before we break here, Dan Duggan put out this. For the Giants to move up to the top pick, they hold the third overall pick to get to that 3,000-point premium. And that's another thing we got to talk about, this point system thing. They'd be giving up their third overall pick, their 34th overall pick in this year's draft, along with next year's first-round pick and a third-round pick. So what would the Jets have to give up? And they're picking four picks after the Giants to move up to. I don't think it's the right way for this regime to start when you do have Tyrod Taylor and Jordan Travis already under contract in the building. And you could potentially draft a quarterback later. That's not going to cost you as much. And this is supposed to be like not a generational draft class of quarterbacks or whatever. All right, Keith McPherson on the Fan. I got a break. We're going to go get Antoine Staley so we can talk more about the Jets. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Okay, joining us right now, my guy. It's been a while. Actually, it hasn't been a while. I feel like I have Twan on every couple months, and that's a good thing. Antoine Staley is about to join us right now to talk about the J-E-T-S, beat writer, columnist for the New York Daily News. Antoine, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. How you doing?
Good. I'm hanging out, you know, getting through another five-hour show, watching the Rangers now. They're in overtime, and I just feel like we're at this point in the new year where we got to realize it's a new year. I feel like we're at this point in 2025 where we got to get over Rob Saleh, Joe Douglas, and that era, that regime. We got to realize, like, Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams are no longer Jets. So let's start there. A couple weeks ago, we learned that they were moving on from Aaron Rodgers, and it was inevitable that they were going to move on from Davante Adams. They couldn't trade him. They just straight up had to release him. What are your thoughts about that?
I don't think anybody's surprised by that. I think, you know, the writing was on the wall basically when Aaron Glenn and Darren Mucci came in. Basically, you know, they're going to want their own players. And obviously, Aaron Rodgers comes with a lot of baggage. I mean, if it was just a straight on-field decision, then I think they would, you know, give us some thought and he might still be on the team. But the fact of the matter is when you take on Aaron Rodgers, you take on everything that comes with him, and he likes things done a certain way, although his teammates really did like him. But, you know, it's just a lot to take in, especially for an aging guy that's, you know, only going to continue probably to get worse throughout the course of his career. And then, of course, once he goes, then Davante Adams is going to go. I expect Alan Lazard to also get released too as well. So, and also Jets needed to free up some cap room too as well to try to, you know, retool their team. So I think that everybody saw this coming, especially after the comments at the combine last week when we were there in Indy.
Yeah, you just said something about the cap number. Earlier I was talking about something that I had in my notes. I'm going to bring it up right now, and it's just kind of crazy, like, how far Aaron Rodgers in this whole experiment, like, you know, just kind of set him back. So I was reading on Instagram, NFL Preem wrote the New York Packers experiment cost the Jets $169 million. And it's got a picture of Alan Lazard, Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb. And when you think about how the Jets kind of bent over backwards these last couple years, bringing in Nathaniel Hackett, that obviously wasn't a great decision. Having Tim Boyle on the roster and having Zach Wilson be the QB too. And then going, I was just like, it's just a trickle down butterfly effect of all of this. And now they have to, you know, dig themselves out of this. And I think that's just what we're seeing now. I'm not sure what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
But do you have the numbers on where they're at with the cap and the money and all those figures?
Yeah, they'll have about $53 million as of right now. They'll have more, probably close to about 60 once they release Alan Lazar. They could have even more if they decide to release CJ Mosley, although I think that could go either way because the cap savings isn't that much considering he restructured his contract last year. So you'd only be getting $4 million of savings. And what you also failed to mention, too, when you talked about all the stuff they gave up for Aaron Rodgers and that experiment, the draft picks. That would help you in a year like this where I think the Jets have a lot of holes. I mean, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They have 28 free agents. I think a lot of their holes are on the defensive side of the ball. They've been good there the last 3 years, basically finishing fifth, you know, in total defense all 3 years. I mean, the defense really slipped after Robert Saleh was fired. But, you know, statistically, at least from a yards perspective, they were third in the league this year. But, yeah, they're going to have a lot of hollow holes to replace, and those picks will come in handy, especially considering if you're thinking about going up to get a quarterback like a Cam Ward potentially.
That's where I was going next. They got a lot of holes, no hole bigger than who's going to be the starting quarterback. But what I've been saying tonight is with Tyrod Taylor on the roster, a veteran quarterback that's been in the building now, and then also Jordan Travis, I've been telling people don't call me and mention Jordan Travis, but he is going to be available in camp. I don't feel like it's necessary to give up what you're potentially going to have to give up to go get Cam Ward. But if they absolutely love Cam Ward, I think it is a great way to potentially start off this era of having a first-time GM, head coach, and quarterback. That's something that the Giants should have figured out in the last couple years. What are you hearing and what are you thinking about them going to get Cam Ward? And if not Cam Ward, what's the second biggest hole? What's the second biggest need for the Jets in the first round?
Well, a lot of things. First of all, we heard a lot during Indy last week, and you know, basically what I understand is they had inquired the Titans about what it would take to move up to number one from seven, you know, in anticipation to draft Cam Ward. Now, that does not mean the Jets are going to do it. They just want to, you know, kick in the tires to see if that's what they exactly wanted to do, if it should come to that. Right now, I don't think that's the case there. We're still about, you know, a month and a half before the draft, so anything can happen depending on what happens in free agency, starting on Monday with the legal tampering period starting up at noon. So, I mean, in terms of quarterback, yeah, if it's not Cam Ward, it's Shador possibly could slip down to seven. That would make an interesting decision for the Jets there, too. I think they would, you know, consider taking him. They also like Jackson Dart, too, as well, from Ole Miss there. Not necessarily you know, the biggest Jackson Dart fan, but at the same time, like a lot of people, he really did impress a lot of people at the Combine and also the Senior Bowl. In terms of if it's not Cam Ward, the second biggest hole, I think it's wide receiver right now. I mean, it's other than Garrett Wilson, you really don't have any established wide receivers, especially if, you know, anticipation the release of Alan Lazar. So I think that is a big hole they have to fill there because, you know, you definitely don't want teams double and triple teaming Garrett Wilson there. And then also they don't have any tight ends really either. Tyler Conklin's going to be a free agent there. We'll see if Jeremy Rucker continues to stay on the roster. He's the only tight end really they have. So, yeah, they got some big holes there just pass catchers in terms of just, you know, getting people the ball, who, no matter who the quarterback is going to be there at 25.
Yeah, the tankathon.com website, their mock draft has Teteroa McMillan from Arizona falling to the Jets at seven. I love that pick. I've been watching him now for about a year. Some of his highlights, some of his practice film, just, and, you know, some of the things that I've seen and read about him, I'm like, this guy is a ready-made NFL receiver. He's 6'4", 220. He can run. He can catch the ball. I think he's going to bully some corners. I'm like, that would be a great guy to have opposite Garrett Wilson right away. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about how thin the wide receiver room is. So if you're potentially going to go with Tyrod Taylor, why not draft him a weapon? And why not give, you know, somebody else or add somebody else to that wide receiver room? For a while, though, they had Will Johnson, the cornerback, who's coming off of a foot injury. And, you know, I thought that there might be something in the universe with, you know, Aaron Glenn being a first-round corner taken by the Jets and maybe, you know, him using his first pick on a corner with Reed about to get up out of here. But what do you think about that as far as the defense? What if they went defense and drafted a corner or used it to draft, you know, defensive tackle edge rusher?
Yeah, they probably should consider that, actually. They could even go linebacker, actually, because, you know, Jamie Sherwood's a free agent there. I know they would like to bring him back, just from what I understand, but it's going to cost them a lot of money. I think his market is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood, probably $13, $14 million, and I don't know exactly if the Jets want to commit that to him, especially just with this new regime who, you know, he's going to be in a new defensive system, so they don't necessarily know him as well as, you know, Robert Saleh and Joe Douglas did. So, yeah, they have a lot of holes there, and they need safety help, too. They need two safeties. They need a cornerback. They possibly need two linebackers. They need a defensive tackle, and I think they need a defensive end, too, because I know Jermaine Johnson will return, maybe for the last year of his contract, depending on if they pick up his fifth-year option, but they definitely need to get some pass rusher help just in case, because he's coming off an Achilles injury, and, you know, he could potentially start the season out slow. So, yeah, I definitely think, you know, pass rusher, D-tackle is definitely in play at seven.
Now, I don't think this is going to happen, but there's conversation, obviously, about it. Shedeur Sanders slipping out of the top couple picks and then him being there at seven. Do you think the Jets would take a swing on him?
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. I think they would be interested in him if he were to slip to seven. I mean, you heard various things there. I mean, it's been, you know, conflicting reports there with some of the teams did not like, you know, Shador's character there, whatever you want to, you know, insinuate it to. So there was some rumblings about that throughout the course of Indianapolis at the combine last week there. But I also heard that, you know, he had great interviews. I heard that he, you know, impressed some of the teams there as well. So just talking to a few people there. So it's going to be teams that don't like him. They may feel like he's brash and arrogant, much like how his father was. It's going to be teams that really do like him. It's just, that's kind of the nature of the beast with the combine. But I do think the Jets, that if he were to slip down to seven, they would have to highly consider that.
Yeah, sorry if I missed that before. I'm thinking about the quarterbacks now. And, you know, Justin Fields is another name that has popped up. And, you know, they're saying that he might stick in Pittsburgh, that they might lean towards keeping him over Russell Wilson. But there's been a ton of chatter about reuniting him with Garrett Wilson. What do you think about the prospects of Justin Fields and the Jets?
That's what I would do if I could, if I was to just try to pair him up with Tyrod Taylor, let the best man win. I think Justin Fields would probably, you know, win that starting job. And, you know, yeah, Garrett Wilson played at Ohio State with him for a year. So I definitely think, you know, obviously they had chemistry with one another, and that would appease him, especially with the frustrations he had, you know, the last year or so. But, yeah, adding a guy like him, I definitely think would, you know, boost up the offense there. And it's somebody that the fans can get behind. The problem is, it seems like they're going to have a lot of competition for him because, you know, I've heard, obviously, Pittsburgh is talking about being interested in him. The Raiders also another team there, too, as well. Depending on what they do at quarterback. Seattle, well, it depends on what Seattle does with Geno. If they end up releasing Geno or trading him potentially, that might be another option for Justin Fields, too, going to Seattle. So yeah, I think he's going to have a lot more interest than I think some people may anticipate there when, you know, the end of the season started last year. I think the market was a little bit down on him, but now with such a being a weak quarterback class, I think he's going to have a few suitors that could potentially give him a starting nod at the quarterback position.
Last thing for you, with this new regime, you know, Jared Allen went out and made a joke about the Jets and, you know, who would want that job. And I kind of look at Muji and Glenn as like, hey, like, you know, they know this could be one and done. This could be their only job as GM head coach in the NFL. I kind of respect them more for taking it on, and I respect the way that they've taken it on. We haven't heard too many things out of, you know, what they're doing outside of what they've said at the combine, and their demeanor at the combine was all business. I think they know they have a ton of work cut out for them, but they know that they want to win right away. And if they do the work and they do it right, it can translate into wins. So what have you seen, right? Because you've seen these different regimes. You've seen the demeanor of these guys. You've seen some guys talking more than they could deliver. What are you seeing out of their new head coach, new GM early on here? And do you believe that they're going to have success, or do you think it's going to be a bumpy road to start?
I think I've seen it's just a focus, you know, between those two. And I think they're trying to change the culture of an organization. And, you know, let's face it, the Jets have been, you know, the Jets for 14, 15 years. And, you know, they need a culture change, whether it be, you know, you talk about front office and then some of the leaks that's come out of there with various news there, you know, in particular the Aaron Rodgers, you know, era there. You know, but yeah, I definitely think, you know, having a guy like Aaron Glenn, who's, you know, Bill Parcells' disciple, obviously, you know, have some Belichick in him too as well. When Belichick was the defensive coordinator, just there, he's used to doing things a certain way. And, you know, also he helped build the culture in Detroit. So I definitely think, you know, those guys are just trying to, you know, reestablish the organization, you know, kind of like what, you know, Glenn saw in Detroit with him and Dan Campbell. And it's probably going to take some time. I don't think they're going to be very good this year, to be quite honest with you. I know that's not going to make a lot of people happy. I probably think they're going to finish in fourth place, because I think the Patriots are going to be a little bit better. They do have money to spend there. Drake May is, you know, the next big quarterback there in the AFC there. We'll have to see if he continues to maturate there. Obviously, everything runs through the Bills and the AFC East. I think the Dolphins are kind of where the Jets are, and just no man's land like they were last year. I think, you know, they're potentially going to change GMs and coaches, but I think they are better than the Jets currently constructed, assuming Tua can stay healthy, which is always a big question.
Well, let's get to these pro days and then to the draft, and then we'll get closer to the season. I'm sure I'll have you back on at some point before we get there. You're the man, bro. Appreciate you.
Okay. I appreciate you too, man. And, yeah, enjoyed baseball. That's for sure. That's plain training.
Yeah. I will try to enjoy it, but, you know, there's some holes in the Yankees lineup and defense. So I'm going to go down there with a close eye and see how we're doing. I'm sure you'll be entertained if the Yankees don't fill those holes and start off slow here.
Oh, always. All right, man, you take it easy.
Thanks, Juan. 888-808-1019. All right, I've cleared all of my guests, and now everything is on the table. We talked to Eric Bolin at 8:15 about the Yankees. We talked to Christian Winfield at 9:15 about the Knicks, and we just talked to Antoine Staley about the Jets. If you missed any of those conversations, you can go back in the free Odyssey app, start from there, and catch up. If not, I've got about 90 minutes or less left to take calls, to get your thoughts, your takes, your opinions on everything in New York sports. My thread for the night is last year is over. We got to accept it. We got to move on and deal with what we have here. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Don't go anywhere, because I'm coming right back. Okay, it's wide open now, right? So if you dial 888-808-1019, I'm going to try my best to get to you. We got a full rack of calls. Keith McPherson on The Fan till midnight, really like 11:54. With the radio delay, it'll be like 11:56. WFAN 101.9 FM, 660 AM. WFAN.com, streaming on the free Odyssey app. Let's get right to it. We're talking about everything is wide open. We'll start the open mic time right now. I've kind of, you know, bounced around from team to team. Right now, Mika Zibanejad is on the screen, so I got to talk to Ross in Bergen County about this. What's up, Ross? How you feeling?
What's up, Keith? How you doing, man? Been a minute.
All right.
Look, you go tail-to-tail with the best team in the East, which is kind of funny. They're talking about going in. This time last year, seeds were flipped. We were the one. They were the eight. Hey, look at it a year later, not so much. And, you know, you kind of look at it, you get a point versus said best team in the East. You kind of look at it as a take the point and run kind of scenario. But I think when you kind of had your foot on their throat the whole game, it wasn't so much that they blew the game late, although Ovi got, you know, he's now within 10 of, needs 10 more to break the record. And one of those goals was his. And then who else but our fan favorite, Todd Wilson, with the OT winner. And I just think, like, you know, like I said, you get a point against the best team in the conference, but I think the same time, you got this stretch coming up. I think they said like 9 games in 16 days. You got Minnesota, Winnipeg, two of the best teams out west. Some of the teams that, you know, are really right down your necks in Ottawa. You get Columbus twice. The fact that you kind of ease off on such a big opportunity to get that second point. I mean, it's a miracle they even got to extra time, to OT. Because honestly, I thought they were just kind of half-assed their way through that third period and kind of let the second point slip like they did against Colorado not too long ago. So I thought tonight was a real missed opportunity, and, you know, the same old names. Mika passing up on not one, but two man rushes / breakaways. He had a wide-open spot. He passes to Miller, who's contested by two guys. He had Zach Jones, who he got his college coach vouching for him. Everybody talking about why he should be in the lineup, and he completely botches a wide-open opportunity. I think there were just so many chances tonight to bury that much-needed second point against one of the best teams in the league, and they just let it slip.
Yeah, it's tough. I just watched. I mean, the game got my attention because they were scrapping, because there were so many fights. Yeah. I'm like, oh, this, you know, it seemed like the Rangers were trying to send a message. And I saw the Ovechkin goal, and then I saw the eventual overtime goal. What are you expecting here ahead of the trade deadline? You expecting to say goodbye to some more guys?
Well, Riley Smith is all but gone. They benched him the last two games. Chubb's fine with kind of a one and done. We'll forget he ever played for this team. I heard Kreider getting shopped around. I doubt that. Mika even more, I doubt. I don't even think there's a chance to kick because of his contract. I will say, I don't think I've talked to you since the Lindgren trade. I'm so happy they let him go. Well, he's one of those guys, kind of like Hedl, too. I guess Hedl's kind of different because you got rid of him in a trade where you were buying with Lindgren. You shipped him off. I'll say this about Lindgren. He's one of those guys where, you know, you thank him for the last couple of years of the past, but his time was so much, you know, was obviously done here. And VC too, but VC always finds his way here every 2-3 years, so I won't be surprised if he's back. But Calvin DeHaan so far has been all right, and this guy Parson, and he's whatever. He should be bottom six. I saw somewhere where they expected more out of him, or would, you know, maybe use him in a bigger role. He's nothing more than a bottom six setter slash winger. But I think aside from Riley Smith, I brought up Zach Jones too. Maybe he could be on his way out. I think that's about it. I'd be surprised if they brought any like high end kind of names like a Miller. Well, definitely not even to Miller's level, but I think if there's any more moves they make.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're selling, and I think that's the right choice. Because like I said, these teams like Ottawa, Columbus, even Detroit, it's such a crowded wild card pool, and the odds of them either getting in and doing anything with it are slim to none. So I just say by the season, and in your guys' case with Hughes, I mean, your season's lost too. So
thanks for the call, Ross. 888-808-1019. As we proceed, we'll skip right over that. Let's go to Gary in Waterbury on the fan. Hello, Gary.
McFair the Cavalier.
Yeah.
Smash Keith, F your beef, no relief. I step on stage.
The girls scream like I'm Keith. You won't be around next year.
My Musa Vaz, I'm kicking new flavor in your ear. Yo, and shouts to my brother Doug, who just sent me the picture. He just got the t-shirt in the mail. Stop playing Frank when we lose. Yo, my man, I got to shout my man's out. He just sent me the photo. He's wearing it. Yeah, and I'm not sweating the AL this year. The AL is just as weak as it was last year. We are going to run it back. Say, whose rotation is better? No, come on. It's obvious. The rotation, Cole, Rodon, Freed, Plus, whose bullpen is better in the AL? We
the Yankees
are
bullpen
run it
is
back
ridiculous on paper, and I hope in reality. I just don't want to underestimate our opponents. I know that the Yankees are going to either start off slow or have a June swoon or start collapsing in August, September. I've just seen it too many times, and I don't want to underestimate the Red Sox or the Orioles or the anybody. I don't know who it's going to be.
No, but it's the same. No, this year. No,
I know it's only been
better.
A couple hundred days.
They didn't go all out.
Since last year, and on paper, if Aaron Judge is Aaron Judge, and the rest of these guys either turn up, the young guys turn up, and then the older guys turn back the clock, which I think they can. I expect this Yankees team to win a lot of games.
Yeah, but they don't even got to be great. The AL is the junior varsity. They can easily run it back. Plus, you know we're going
to
make moves at the deadline.
Have
you know we're going to do that too.
Make a move at the end of spring training. I'm hoping they make a move while I'm down there in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks now.
All right, what song do you want them to play when we do lose? I know they have a rotation.
Air. Silence.
All right. Yes. My Man Pots and Pants. I would vote for that too. Love you, dog.
Thanks for the call, Gary. Shout out to Doug. And I've already told a bunch of people, anybody that went to McPhersonBrand.com and bought those Stop Playing Frank When We Lose t-shirts, and then they actually, down at spring training, Stop Playing Frank When We Lose, I owe you a t-shirt. I'm working on some t-shirts when we get into the season, but you know how that goes. Like, I need the Yankees to do something. Like, you know, last year they came out and they were dogs, and, you know, people made t-shirts with dogs. Like, I need the Yankees to do something organically, naturally become, and, you know, then I'll have an idea for a t-shirt and I'll send you that t-shirt for free. 888-808-1019. And going back to the theme of this show, man, last year is over. You can't say the AL is the same as last year. You know, the Royals grew up some after their experience. And I know everybody sleeps on the Central Division, but like the Tigers had a run that they're going to build off. And you know, now they got Gleyber Torres and Jamai Jones. I'm not sleeping on the Boston Red Sox. They don't stay down for long. They've got the pitching. They've got the hitting. They've got the manager. I think the Baltimore Orioles, they're going to be young and scrappy. I did see Gunnar Henderson has an injury. That's something else I'll add in here before we get back to the phones. 888-808-1019. Going back to my notes, I always have so many notes. Especially I was off last night, so my notes are so deep. And I use the Notes app, and when I screenshot, it makes things so large. I got to scroll through. I got to make all of them small. But I saw Jordan Westberg, right? Jordan Westberg had back spasms for the Baltimore Orioles, and it was caused by a softer mattress. He slept on a soft mattress at an Airbnb, and that messed up his back. Like, yo, what? And I also saw, I think Gunnar Henderson is going to be out for some time if I go to my notes with that. Bear with me. Gunnar Henderson has a mild right intercostal strain, but the Orioles are hopeful that he'll be ready for opening day. And yeah, this is what happens. So it's not just the Yankees getting hurt, right? It's not just the Yankees losing guys and guys going down to injuries. Like, things can get you. Like, you can have a cranky back from a soft mattress. I don't play around with that. That's another, like, last year I went to spring training. I did the Airbnb because the Airbnb I had in Tampa, it was a hop, skip, and a jump from George M. Steinbrenner Field. I'm talking about, like, two highways away. But the mattresses, the beds were whack. And as I'm getting older, I will not play with that. I will not. When I was younger, I used to sleep on people's floors. I'll crash on anybody's couch. I didn't even care. Now, as I get older, nope. You sleep on a bad bed, you're going to have a bad back. You're going to be all sore, messed up for a week. It's not worth it, especially these players. And I forget what player was it. It was DeAndre Ayton. Wasn't he sleeping on like an air mattress when he first got traded? And I'm like, bro, you're rich. Your body is how you make money. How are you sleeping on an air mattress? Are you crazy? So, yeah, Jordan Westberg has, let's see. Westberg is an exception and blah, 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 blah. I've got to sleep on a harder mattress. Just talking with the other guys, I think they feel the same. I don't know whether it's just being athletes or a softer mattress kind of putting you in bad posture, but that's just what I've learned through my experience. A softer mattress is no good. I might sleep better on it the first few nights, but it's no good for me. And he's a young guy. You guys are rich. You guys are athletes. You got to buy a bed, a nice bed. And then you can't just sleep anywhere because you're young. 888-808-1019. There was another peculiar injury that I saw before we get. Oh, Jordan Walker underwent an MRI after stepping on a sprinkler head while tracking a fly ball. So that's on somebody. That's almost in line with like Judge running into the wall. Hey, how are you guys not making this stuff safe for these guys running? He's tracking a fly ball and he steps on a sprinkler head and twists his ankle, twists his leg. And, you know, obviously you know what happened with Judge. That's just stupid. The Dodgers, we still owe him for that. I hate the Dodgers now. I was hearing Evan talk about, you know, this new series that's coming out March 28th, Yankees, Dodgers World Series. And I text Evan, I was like, yeah, when I was in the bleachers for roll call in June for the Dodgers series, you know how the iPhone has those three circles on their camera? And any of the creatures listening, you guys might remember, back in June, there was a camera, a big-ass camera. It had these like long, like these legs, and then it was a square, and it had the three circles on it. And I was like, I've never seen a camera like that. I'm like, that camera looks like the iPhone. And then through some channels and some conversations I had with people, I learned that, yeah, Apple TV has a dock that they're doing. And I said to Evan, Evan's like, will you watch that doc? I'm like, I'm going to try. I didn't make it 5 minutes through the, not even, it might have been 2.5 minutes, you know, the Red Sox 2004 comeback documentary on Netflix. I'm like, all right, let me run this. I forget what it was that was said or whatever. It just triggered. I'm like, nope, not going to do it. Can't do it. Won't do it. Mike is down in Tom's River on the Fan in New York. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
It's going. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Hey, man. So I got a couple concerns here. You know, the Yankees got a lot of money invested in, and you know, in this team, obviously, as always. But, you know, there are a couple injuries away, which, you know, is always going to happen, where that bench, you know, mid, to say the least. You know, you're looking at probably Dom Smith, Peraza, the backup catcher, whoever that might be. And you know it's going to be the, you know,
J.C. Ascara or Alex Jackson, Trent Grisham on the bench. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, and like you said earlier, the Red Sox, they're a threat. They're coming hard. And Alex Cora is no joke. He's not, you know, he's not Boone, Mr. Hey, I want to be your buddy, I want to be your pal type of guy. He's the type of guy who's going to hold you accountable. You're late to the ballpark. You're not prepared. You're not taking care of your health and all this and all that other stuff. You know, and I don't know. I'm going to be in spring training. I'm going to be down there on Monday. And I don't know. I got a lot of concerns with the bench. You know, third base, we're going in. I love Cabrera and what he brings to the table energy wise and all that. But I think he's best served as, you know, a utility guy.
I agree with you, but I think they're going to give him the nod. Enjoy spring training, Mike. Thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. You're supposed to go to spring training and get a good look and get a good feel. And I've been to spring trainings in years where I was down on the Yankees, and then I go see the guys in person. And I'm like, they got a lot of guys. They got, you know, it's different when you actually go there and, you know, you're around the fans and you see the team and you see some guys do some things. And, you know, we're Yankee fans. I think most of us are going to be excited for the season, be positive about the team, but it's okay to be skeptical as well. And like what I'll also say about other fan bases are skeptical too. Right here, are Mets fans that excited about their rotation? Right. I mean, you know, you can look at Kodai Senga, Clay Holmes, even some of your young guys having good outings in spring. It's just spring. What does it count for? But when you look at your rotation, and you know you're going to be seeing Paul Blackburn start games, you know you're going to be seeing Griffin Canning start games, that's got to be a little worrisome. But that's where you are. That's where your president of baseball operations puts you, and you got to just trust him. You know, they didn't want to go get Jose Quintana. They didn't want to bring back Jose Iglesias. This is a new team in a lot of different parts, a lot of different places. I think if you're a Mets fan, you should be, you know, most solid with the lineup, but like also confident with the bullpen. Like, the bullpen's been such an issue. I think this is one of the stronger bullpens the Mets have had going into a season in a long time. But they still have question marks. I'm sure the Red Sox have some question marks. But they look good when you see Garrett Crochet out there just mowing people down. When you see Walker Buehler in midseason form, it's like, well, damn, they added those guys. Then they also added Bregman. Bregman with Devers. And you just know. That's why I keep mentioning Alex Cora, their manager, because, you know, he's got a hard-on for the Yankees. This guy, like, he wants to, like, beat the Yankees. He plays into that. Like, it's a thing there. You know, they swept the Yankees a couple years back, and they weren't going anywhere, but they're popping champagne in the visiting clubhouse because they swept the Yankees in the Bronx. So you think they're not going to be ready to go? They are. You can't underestimate them. You can't sleep on them. Like, everything you're seeing out of, you know, the Red Sox camp, even like guys like Trevor Story, Jaron Duran, you know, they have guys, Masataka Yoshida, you know they have guys, and they have some young guys that are coming up and making some noise. They don't have enough spots for some of these guys, but they're going to be a decent team. They're not going to be a pushover. 888-808-1019, last hour coming up. For me, what we'll do in this last hour, open mic, I know we're talking baseball, but I'll sprinkle in some more baseball stories, some NFL stuff. Like I said, a lot of guys were cut today. A lot of guys, or in the last couple of days, some guys retired today. Some guys took pay cuts today. The new league year is off and running. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Call up now if you'd like to join the show. We'll be right back.